Welcome to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. I'm Lance Carter. In this episode, I'm talking with one of the stars of the History Channel's Vikings, George Blagden. Hey guys, at WonderCon I talked with George Blagden. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. It's George, right? George. Yeah, I got it right. You might have seen George in the film version of Les Mis, and now he's one of the leads in the History Channel's great new show, Vikings. I talked to George in a roundtable interview about how he got the part in the show, preparing to play a Viking, and being nervous on his first day on set. Why was he nervous? He had to do a sex scene on the very first day. Yeah, nothing to be nervous about. I just want to say that I really do appreciate it when you support the advertisers, because every little tiny click does help. And if you need a website, we make them now. We do custom websites that are affordable and it won't kill your bank account. We also sell casting director mailing labels and have a bunch of other cool stuff you can check out. It's all right there on dailyactor.com. And now here's George.
I do have to ask, you mentioned in the panel, but how awkward was that scene, that sort of seduction scene to shoot? Was it awkward, or did you just go with it?
Of course it was very awkward. I'd met them before, obviously, but it's the first time you get to... It was literally the first thing I shot, and when you have your first scene with other actors, you know, you're kind of assessing what they're like as well, and how you can get some good chemistry involved with these other people. And so, to throw that scene at us, as well, they'd already done some scenes, but the first scene is me, you know, with these two half-naked beautiful people, was kind of, yeah, terrifying and very awkward and weird. And he loved it. It was like, yeah.
When you really do your first scene, are you nervous? Like, you're around all these new people?
I think so, yeah. Because as an actor, you audition for something, and you still, well, at least I do, and I'm sure it's the same for lots of other actors, but you still don't know whether you're really right for the role until you, and you still get on set, and, well, I do anyway, I get on set, and there's the director and all these cameramen and all the crew, and they're all looking at you going, this is Athelstan, huh? Well, you think it is, and you just want to make sure that you're delivering this character in the best way possible. So first days are always nervous, but the great thing about television is that you don't have time to worry about it. Compared to film, I found you have a lot more time on film, and television, it's really instinctual, and you have to just kind of deliver, which takes the pressure off a little bit if you don't have 8 hours to sit around on set thinking about one line. Yeah. Hello, you know, it's kind of it's a lot easier.
You talked about your audition. How did you get the part?
I had an audition in London with Frank Mazzell, the casting director, and it was very, very easy. He actually auditioned me in a chapel underneath a very fancy hotel in London, in the basement. So I actually had my audition in a chapel, which was very kind of weird and spooky. But it was really easy. He's a great casting director. And it's great as an actor when you're auditioning for things, when you get to audition opposite people who really help you out. So I was very lucky.
And how long from the audition did you find out you got the part?
I think it was a couple of weeks, and I was the first person cast in the show about a month before anyone else. So I sort of, you know, as you do on IMDb, you look up the project and, oh, Vikings, let's see if anyone else has been cast. And I was thinking, and actually they cast everyone else really close to our start date, probably a week or two. Travis and Catherine were cast before we were supposed to go to Ireland, and I was thinking, is this a one-man television show? Well, you know, so it was a very easy audition process for me, thankfully, and could not be more grateful. Yeah.
And since there's, you know, more of a historical record of England during the time, did you find kind of preparation more daunting or less daunting to have more to draw on?
You mean as in having more time to prepare?
Well, more time to prepare, also that there's more documentation where...
Oh, I see.
Where that era isn't as well documented for the Vikings as it is for England.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about the Viking period, speaking to Michael, was that, and I didn't realize this, but before the Battle of Hastings in 1066, in terms of historical record, there's not much. It's all a lot of word of mouth, and people wrote things down, like the monks at Lindisfarne were writing the Lindisfarne Gospels. But in terms of recording history, it didn't really happen. So what's been great to do with the show is that, you know, we can kind of make it our own and really sort of really explore this history that people haven't seen a lot of or know that much about. So that's kind of a fun.
Do you worry on the flip side of that about historians coming in, and I study history as an undergrad, coming in and saying, well, this isn't, for what is there, saying this isn't right, or are you worried that you're getting it wrong?
Look, we're in the business of entertaining, so you know, I'm very pleased that history have not decided to do a documentary of Vikings, because then, you know, you wouldn't be able to see these amazing characters be the heroes that everyone, you know, is coming to love, and you have to find a balance, I think, speaking to Michael about this, of being historically accurate but being able to entertain people, and I think he really knows how to do that as a writer. And I mean, obviously it's on history as well, and we have this fantastic historian called Justin who you know, always keeps us in check. But so far the response has been really positive. It's been extremely historically accurate.
Is he drawing from both the Anglo-Saxon and what little there is from the Vikings?
Well, Michael said, actually, he was telling me that he had this idea way before the Tudors. Vikings, he had, you know, I can't remember how many years ago this is, but maybe 8-9 years ago, and talking to producers about it. And so he has been spending the best part of a decade collating information, talking to people about this show, and it really shows, I think. And I think he's worked really hard on making sure that, although keeping it historically accurate, he's created these really interesting characters that people are going to come to love. And so, you know, he spent ages drawing on that information from both places.
My question's about your character. When you're let go, Ragnar lets you go, basically gives you freedom, but mm-hmm. you stay, and he trusts you to watch his family. What do you think that, I mean, do you think he's messing with you, or do you think he's actually trusting your character? Like, how's your character responding?
Well, this is a dangerous, enigmatic, mysterious character, Ragnar, and everyone around him, not just Athelstan, I think, you know, his wife, his friends, are always on their toes, and so it kind of gets to the stage where he asks Athelstan to look after his children, where it's sort of... it's not that surprising, because he's had so many of these sort of kind of interesting, exciting decisions to have made with people in the character. So he really kind of is thrown in the deep end by Ragnar. Athelstan is really thrown in the deep end, and I think, but it's not just the way he treats Athelstan as well, everyone, you know, and he is the guy who sailed west for the first time. So it has to be a pretty brave and daring person to achieve what Ragnar achieves. So, you know, he would leave his children. What? Yeah. Yeah, that's one. I don't have a phone. Interesting Viking traditions. Oh God, I don't know. They slaughter animals. I don't know. I'm still learning. You're supposed to be the Viking.
I mean, why do you think Ragnar? Why do you think Ragnar saved Athelstan? Treats him more like a friend than a slave.
Well, the reason he doesn't cut my head off immediately is because I speak his language to him, and I think in that moment Ragnar is met with this person who he realizes could really he's met with this person who he realizes could really help him, and I think he makes a very quick snap judgment call that this man could be helpful to me. And yeah, so that's why Athelstan is kept alive, and why he takes him as a slave when he could have taken all the other gold when Earl Haraldson asks which one piece of treasure you can take. He takes the slave because he knows he's going to be useful to him, and Athelstan is useful. You know, he tells him a lot about England for his subsequent raids, and it's a really interesting relationship, and they are. Athelstan needs Ragnar as much as Ragnar needs Athelstan, really.
Do you think it's more a relationship of fate? Because I know he says something along the lines of, you ask, why did you spare my life? And he says, I don't know yet.
Yeah.
And do you think it's like the religion, it's like with him saying Odin, but with your side, the religion knowing that this was supposed to happen?
Yeah.
The coexisting, do you think that it's something of fate, or is it just like an immediate bond?
I think I don't think it's an immediate immediate bond. I think it's very tricky relationship that they're both trying to manage and don't really quite know how to. So I think, yeah, it's I'd not thought of it that way, actually. I'm going to tell Michael Hurst that, yeah, it's an interesting way of putting it. It's a relationship of fate. I think it is. And, you know, I think it's what makes their relationship interesting is that they come from two complete opposite worlds, but somehow they seem like similar men, maybe. One a lot more physically impressive than the other, and very good at sword fighting, and one good at crying, but, you know.
You're a man of letters.
I'm a man of letters. I'm a man of the word.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not so much a man of action.
Will we see your scene at all?
Oh, well, you saw a little bit in episode 2 in the monastery, but I'm not sure. The Viking culture is a big one for people breaking out into song, really. Hey, I said to Michael Hurst, Vikings the musical on Broadway, I think it could really work. It's not been done before. We should try it. He would hate it. He would not do it.
Okay, can you give us a little hint of what's ahead for Athelstan and Ragnar, or just your character?
I can. It's amazing for an actor to be able to play a character that has such an amazing arc that Athelstan does, and he changes so much. And you'll see as the series progresses that every episode brings something new about the Viking culture that Athelstan is faced with or has to deal with and learn how to deal with. And I think it's one of the more interesting aspects of the show that people will want to come back and watch every week is what's going to happen to Athelstan this week. Is he going to be asked to have a foursome rather than a threesome, or is he going to, you know, how's he going to really integrate himself into the society? And he really does. So, yeah.
Tongue in cheek.
Keep watching.
Thanks, George, and thank you guys for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV and theater, and so much more. Follow me on Twitter at Daily Actor and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/Daily Actor. Thanks for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.